Good morning. Remember the story of the Shunammite woman and her son that died, and Elisha, through God, raised them back to life? Yeah, I gave that sermon a little while ago. That was a true miracle from God, and God heard Elisha's prayers and restored the life of her son. That was one of the many miracles that God did through Elisha. But today, we will go back in time and learn of some of the miracles of Elijah. Who was Elijah? And how did Elijah become acquainted with Elisha? We will find that out today, but you will have to come back for part two to find out how God led Elijah to Elisha. That is a miracle in itself. The main theme to this story is obedience to God. Obey God and watch the plans that God has for you unfold. Don't obey God and watch your life collapse and fall apart, because those are the plans the devil has for you. Our story today comes from 1 Kings chapter 17, 18, and 19, so you can get your Bibles out and follow along, because this is going to be a biblical story. So many good illustrations and examples for us today. 1 Kings 17, 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was one of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." That's a pretty drastic drought. No rain, no even dew would come up. Here we are with Elijah in his hometown of Gilead, and I suppose that he's distressed over the fact that Israel was not obeying God. He simply could not understand why his fellow countrymen would not want to obey God, but instead they reached out to the heathen. So what did Elijah do? He reached out to God by faith and in prayer for an answer. From Patriarchs and Prophets, page 120 and 121, it says, Elijah was entrusted the mission of delivering to Ahab heaven's message of judgment. He did not seek to be the Lord's messenger. The word of the Lord came to him, and jealous for the honor of God's cause, he did not hesitate to obey the divine summons, though to obey seemed to invite swift destruction at the hand of the wicked king. Verses 2 and 3, chapter 17, 2 and 3, And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide therefore by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. Did you notice? The Lord just tested Elijah's obedience twice. First, by giving him a message to give to Ahab, and then by telling Elijah where to go afterwards. Now Elijah could have said, Why, Lord, that is too much for me to do. And I know where to go to be safe. I can go where I want to. But he did not. And what was Elisha's reward for obedience to God? We will see as the story unfolds. Verses 4 through 6. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. Wasn't that wonderful that even though there was a drought around him, his food and his water was sure? As things got tough, God had his protection for those that obey him. Watch and see what else he does for Elijah. Verses 7 through 9. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwelled before thee. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to sustain thee. Did you notice that this woman, the widow of Zarephath, was not an Israelite? Yet she believed in God, and God had plans for her too. Did you know that it is not a requirement to be a Seventh-day Adventist to believe in God? God calls his people from all faiths. God is just about to bless this lady that believes in him. Verses 10 through 12. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. This woman, the widow of Zarephath, who believes in God, who has the kindness to quench Elijah's thirst, even though she has more important things to do, is about to be tested for her obedience and trust in God. Let's go to verse 13 through 16. And Elijah said to her, Fear not, and go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it to me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. What a test! Her last meal, I am sure that not only is she hungry, but her only child, the love of her life, is very, very hungry too. You ever heard your kids say, I'm very, very, very hungry? Yeah, they are. And by faith she obeyed, and what a blessing! Her meals kept coming, not in abundance, but one by one until the drought was over. Awaiting her last meal, death by starvation, she probably been seeing it all around her. She was accepting of this fate, but God had plans for her belief. He tested her faith and rewarded her obedience with sustaining her food supply. And in her gratitude, she invited the man of God to stay with her, and thus God preserved his life too. Too much, you say? Well, hold on to Ahab's horses, because God has more miracles in this story of the widow of Zarephath. Verses 17 and 18. And it came to pass after these things, that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? Is it okay to question God? King David, the man after God's own heart, questioned God. Abraham questioned God, but they were rewarded for their obedience. That is a normal human reaction. Because we don't know. God is all-knowing. But I want to remind you, in all your questionings of God, stand firm, trust and obey, for there is no other way. Verses 19 to 21. And he said unto her, Give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom, and carried him up into a loft where he abode, and laid him on his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord, and said, O Lord my God, thou hast brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son. And he stretched himself upon the child 3 times, and cried unto the Lord, and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. Did you notice what Elijah did? Does that sound familiar? Elisha, when he raised the Shunammite woman's son back to life, was copying what Elijah did. He took the boy upstairs to his room, shut out all the distractions, laid his body on the boy, and pled with God. And what happened? Verses 22 to 24. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house, and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, See, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. Wow, wow, and wow. What a story. But did you notice when God performed a miracle for her and blessed her, she did not abandon God. She not only believed God all the more, she obeyed God all the more. And God performs miracles for us every day. Let's praise God for these miracles. Trust Him more and obey Him more. So many times I see people get what they want from God or be blessed by God in so many ways, then turn their allegiance back to the ways of the world. How sad. Now, 1 Kings 18:1 through 4. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the 3rd year, saying, Go show thyself to Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. For it was so, when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave, and fed them with bread and water. After 3 years of punishing drought, no rain or dew, would you want to go present yourself to the king who wanted to kill you for supposedly causing this drought? That'd be pretty scary. If you think Ahab was scary, Jezebel was a worker for the devil. That took a lot of trust and obey to do that. Chapter 18, verses 5 through 14. And Ahab said to Obadiah, Go into the land, and unto all fountains of water, and unto all brooks. Peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. So they divided the land between them to pass through it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him, and he knew him, and he fell on his face and said, Art thou my Lord Elijah? And he answered, I am. Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And he said, What? I have sinned, that thou wouldst deliver thy servant into the hands of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom, whether my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said, He is not there, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. That was pretty good searching for him. And now thou sayest, Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And it shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, The Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. And so I will come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, and he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. Was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord? How I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water? He's pretty bold to tell Elijah that, because that could get back to Ahab. And now thou sayest, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me. Was Obadiah a follower of God? Yes, he was. Did Obadiah have faith that God was in charge of his life? No, he wasn't. He had seen the loss of life at the hands of Ahab and Jezebel. Verse 15-17. And Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, and Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? Notice, Elijah had to twist Obadiah's arm to get him to do God's will. Do we need to twist people's arms to get them to obey God? Yes, we do. And is it worth the twisting or encouragement? Sometimes we need to encourage and nudge others to Jesus. Just get them there and let the Holy Spirit do the work. Chapter 18, verse 18. And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou, king, and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. There it is, in black and white. If you do not obey the Lord and his commandments, you are the cause of your own troubles. Elijah makes no attempt to excuse himself or flatter the king. And jealous for the honor of God, Elijah fearlessly declares to the king that it is his sins and the sins of his father that have brought upon Israel this terrible calamity. God's promises are true 100% of the time. The devil's promises are deceptions, false and full of destruction, both here on this earth and eternally. Please don't go there. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Chapter 18, verses 19 through 21. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent to all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto the people, and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Now, why do you think the people just stood there and said nothing? I feel that they were still under the influence of Satan, still deceived, still wandering after the heathen and the ways of the world. Just too much TV. I have seen that look. Even in my own life, too much TV. Fascinated by the devil's deceptions, and some are pretty good too. Verses 22-24. Then said Elijah unto the people, even I, only I, remain a prophet to the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it into pieces, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, lay it on the wood, and put no fire under. And Call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Elijah was making it plain. Serve the devil, or serve the true God. It took 3 years of drought for the people to say, that's a good idea. Verses 25 through 26. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one of the bullocks for yourself, and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. They leaped upon the altar which was made. Did the false prophets, in doing what Elijah asked them to do, was good enough? I mean, Elijah gave them the instructions. He was asking them what to do. But no, that wasn't good enough. Why? Because they prayed to the wrong God. Verses 27 to 29. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a God, and he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is on a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awakened. And they cried aloud, and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets, until the blood gushed upon them. And it came to pass, when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, nor any answer, nor any that regarded. Why did Elisha have to watch them carefully? They wanted to cheat. They wanted to be instruments of Satan to trick the people into believing falsehoods. Deception is a big tool of the devils. Verses 30 and 32. And Elijah said unto the people, come near to me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench around the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. Did you notice what Elisha just did? He used the true altar of God. He followed God's plans. He followed the Bible completely. Back then, he just had the Old Testament to follow. He built the foundation according to the rules that God had established. They knew God's way, but they had torn it down. What a wonderful spiritual lesson for today. Verses 33 to 35. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, fill 4 barrels of water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice, and on the wood. And he said, do it a second time. And they did it a second time. And he said, do it a third time. And they did it a third time. And the water ran around the altar, and filled the trench also with water. Did you see what Elijah was doing? 12 jars of water, 4 barrels of water times 3, one for each tribe of Israel. He was pouring doubt on God's sacrifice, pouring doubt on God's plan of salvation. Wet, soaked, now only a true miracle from God could pull this off and prove his truth. Verses 36 to 40. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their hearts back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. And Elijah said unto them, Take the prophets of Baal, and let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon, and slew them there. Is this not the way it will be like when God, Christ, comes to redeem those who trust and obey? This is what will happen to the whole world, and the ways of the world, in the end, it will be consumed. The people will all fall before Jesus and say, The Lord is God, Him only shall we obey. The wicked, the prophets of Baal, those who do not obey God's commands, will be killed, all killed and destroyed. Please, please, please give your heart to God. Believe in His word, the Bible, and obey His commandments. All of them, all 10 of the commandments, the entire Bible, for His word is true and just and stands forever. This is not just to control you or restrict you, but to give you freedom and true happiness. Do not be deceived by the ways of the world. It is a matter of life and death, and one day you will acknowledge that God is true, God is just, and God's way is right, whether you are on God's side or on the devil's side. That is my plea for today. Next time is part 2. We will see how God led His servant Elijah to find Elisha. Let's bow our heads. Dear God, we thank You for the story of Elijah, how he stood up for You, trusted You's word, and it preserved his life through that famine that You brought on. We ask that You give us the courage to fill our life with Your holy word, to set our foundations from the Bible, and to trust and obey Your commands. In Thy holy name, amen.